Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs.
Well, good morning. It is great to have all of us here, all of the church family. My name's Johnny, and we're going to go through this really exciting passage together. Boys and girls, it's great to have you at the front. You've got some worksheets that might help you just listen along. And make sure you are listening, because I will need your help at some points through this talk, okay? So now, as we come to God's word, let's pray to God for help as we start. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this passage all about the Lord Jesus. Please help us to see him more clearly, to love him more dearly, and to follow him more nearly, whatever age we are, whatever stage we are at. In his name we pray, amen. Well, I wonder how many of us sometimes wish we were born at a different time. Would we be happier? Would we be healthier? Would we be better off if we lived in a different period? I think it's very British of us to kind of bemoan modern times and muse about the good old days, whenever they might be. But it is actually so good to be alive now. We are so privileged to be living in the age that we do now. But it's not because of kind of modern inventions. It isn't because of the internet or Netflix. It's not even because some of us might have really exciting toys, like a Nerf gun like this. It is not even because England are finally starting to get their act together and getting to major finals in the football. It is actually because we now today can know God in a way that is far bigger and far better and far more glorious than we could do in the past. In churches, I think sometimes we think it'd be better off to be around in Moses' time, seeing God work miracles right before our eyes. Or being around in David's time, seeing God's king in the flesh. Or it would be better to be around in Jesus' time, seeing him face to face, hearing his teaching. If we could just do that, then it would be really easy to believe. It would be really easy to be a Christian. But the great news that Hebrews 1 declares to us is that we can hear God speak through his Son. We can hear the glorious message of the gospel, see where it started, see who it will go through, and where it will end for us. We get a complete picture. That is a privilege that others in past ages didn't have. Moses didn't have that. David didn't have that. And even more than that, we can come to know the glorious messenger of that message, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what I really hope we will see this morning, that God has spoken through Jesus, so we are to listen to him and we are to come to him. All because, boys and girls, Jesus is number one. Okay, if you remember anything from this morning, remember Jesus is number one. All because of who he is and what he has done. So the first thing to see this morning, God has spoken everything we need through Jesus. Have a look at verse 1. Verse 1 tells us that in the past, a long time ago, God spoke to people. And he did this through prophets. These were kind of special people God used to tell everyone about him, to tell everyone about the best ways to live, and about God's plans for the world, and really importantly, about the promised rescuer. And this was through all sorts of different ways, through narratives, through hymns, through poetry, songs, parables, all sorts of different ways. And that is what we normally call the Old Testament. That is the big, chunky bit of our Bibles. And that Old Testament is really good. It is really helpful because, after all, it's God speaking. But there is a kind of a small problem with it taken on its own, which is that the Old Testament is not complete. It's not always clear when we read the Old Testament where exactly these promises are going or who is going to complete them, who is going to fulfill them. Each time in the past when God spoke through a prophet, it gives us a small picture, kind of like a tile on a grand mosaic. It might be a bit like using the Old Testament to navigate life, a bit like trying to use a map, but some of the sections are jumbled up, some of them are missing, some of them have been cut up and ripped out. And just by coincidence, boys and girls, I happen to have had a bit of an accident with a map. And so I'm hoping for some people's help to try and put together a map. Okay, so I'm going to need three people. So you come up first. Now, could you put these map pieces where you think they might go on the map? Do you know what it's a map of?
Yeah.
Yeah, like trains. Yeah, trains. It's the London Tube map. I'm going into central London and I need to know where to go. Do you reckon you can help me with these map pieces? Yep, stick them on here. Let's pop it over here. Where do you think these pieces go?
Not there.
Good stuff, so we've got one. Can we get someone else to come up? I've got two more pieces that need to come up. Yeah, come on. Where do you think these go? Stick them anywhere. If you need to guess, just guess. Yeah, come on up. There's another piece. And one more person for two more pieces. Children, where do we think these are going to go? Come on then, Sophie. Stick these up where you think these might go. Help me on my journey into London. Nice and quick. Just wherever you think they go, just stick them on. I think that goes more there. Go on, Sophie, stick them on. Right, guys, you've got 10 seconds to get these stuck on, okay? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Brilliant, guys. Go and sit down. Go and sit down for me, thanks. Don't worry if they fall off. Give them a round of applause. Give them a round of applause. Good stuff. Boys and girls, do you think I'm going to manage to get into central London where I need to go from that? Yeah, I think that would be pretty tricky. That would be pretty tricky. I'm not sure that has worked very well, really. See, the old ways, they weren't complete. They were a bit like this incomplete map. The prophets don't tell us everything we need to know about God and life with him. In fact, nearly everything the Old Testament tells us is pointing forwards to a future time when promises would be kept and the whole picture could be seen clearly. There were holes and gaps that needed to be filled in. But things are very different now today. Have a look at the second half of verse 1 with me. It says, "But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." In these last days, that's kind of where we are now, God has spoken not just by the prophets, but by his Son. And God's Son here is like a title, like a grand title, a bit like Prime Minister or something like that. And this title refers to God's promised King, who God promises will come all the way through the Old Testament, what those map pieces were pointing towards. And that promised King was Jesus. So all the old promises, all the old pictures, all the old events and miracles and signposts, they all point to and find their completeness in Jesus. And so what Jesus does is he completes the picture for us, a bit like this. Ooh. Jesus completes the picture for us. He reveals everything we need to know about God, who God's promises are all about. How God is going to save sinful human beings. How he is going to bring them home to heaven with him. And we see that Jesus is the one who is going to do that, that all of these promises go through. So that makes Jesus bigger and better than all of the old prophets. You could say Jesus is the ultimate prophet. And another thing to see is that there is nothing else left for God to say to us, because Jesus has said it all. Totally and completely, God's revelation to us is complete. And so that means a few things for us, I think, today, this morning. That means we've got to read the Bible as a priority in our lives. It is the place that God has spoken to us. And if we are convinced of that, if we're convinced it is the place God has spoken to us, that will help us to read it above all other things. Today, there's so many voices that we can listen to. There's a really loud voice in our culture at the moment that shouts, listen to your inner voice. It's what you feel on the inside. Trust your gut, trust your instincts. That's who you really are. Or there's the voice that says, listen to the experts. They know how to live life and better yourselves. They've written the self-help books. They've hosted the podcast. They've been on the debate shows. They know how to live life. Listen to them. Or the kind of voice that says, well, this is what everyone else is doing. I should listen to them and go along with that. Boys and girls, you might be familiar with that at school. Many of your friends won't be going to church. You might be tempted to think they're right and listen to their voices. We are really good at listening to other people speak. We are less good, I think, and I know this personally, at reading the Bible as a priority and letting God speak to us through Jesus. We read it every Sunday, which is really good. And if we're really good, we might even spend 10 minutes a week reading it. But if we are convinced the Bible is God speaking to us about his Son, to us, revealing everything we need to know about life and death and heaven and hell and hope and joy and glory and life, we really should have it as our priority. Everything else secondary. And so, as much as those other voices might have things to say, boys and girls, as much as your friends might have things to say, those things aren't going to reveal God to us. They're not going to save us from sin and death into a life forever with God. So know that God has spoken finally and decisively by his Son in his words. So we put it first. For parents and families, that means trying to prioritize reading the Bible in family life too. Read the Bible with your kids before bed, at breakfast, around the dinner table. Read it when you're wondering what on earth you're going to do with them. Now the summer holidays have started and you've already been to the park 12 times. It can be hard to do it as family time. There's some brilliant resources out there. Come and speak to me afterwards if you need some help with that. And boys and girls, know that the Bible is the most important thing you will ever read. So be excited to hear the God of the universe speaking directly to you through it. And expect your parents to read it with you. Teenagers, it would be really good for you to read the Bible with your parents too in family time. Don't think it's lame or boring. Be excited about it as well. Make sure, adults, you've got your Bibles open, and children, if you've got them down there, we're going to be having a look at these next things. So, second thing to see is listen to the Son, listen to Jesus, because of who he is. So God has spoken through his Son Jesus, totally and finally, and so we are to listen to Jesus because he also has the credentials to be worth listening to. Children, I need you to be awake and listening really well for this next part because I need your help, okay? Whenever I ask you, what are we to do, okay? Whenever I ask you, what are we to do, I want you to shout back, listen to Jesus, okay? So we're going to practice that. Are you ready? Children, what are we to do?
Listen to Jesus.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. I think we can be a bit loud on that, though. Some of us are feeling a bit sleepy at the back. Children, what are we to do?
Listen to Jesus.
Brilliant. Good. Thanks. So we should listen to Jesus, firstly, because he has authority. He is in charge of everything. Have a look at the middle part of verse 2, which says, whom he has appointed heir of all things. God has placed Jesus in charge of everything. Not some things, not just the big things, but all things. He is in charge of the world, the universe, and heaven, all of time and space. He is in charge of the past, and the present, and the future. And that means that he is in charge of all human beings. Whether we're really little, whether we're kind of medium-sized, or whether we're really big. Jesus is in charge. So children, what are we to do? Brilliant, brilliant. So that is the first thing to see. Jesus is in charge. Children, you might want to draw pictures of some of these on your workbooks. And Jesus, Hebrews tells us, is how everything was created. That's the end of verse 2, where it says, "And through whom he also made the universe." You see, right at the beginning, before the world was even made, before light even existed, Jesus was around. He didn't just pop into existence in Bethlehem, but he has always existed. There has never been a time when Jesus hasn't been around. And in the beginning, creation was God's plan, and Jesus was the one who made it all. The power that Jesus has to make the stars and the planets and the trees and the grass and the fish and the animals and birds and people, that power should make us go, wow. Wow, that is who Jesus is. So children, what are we to do? Good, brilliant, good stuff. So we are to listen to Jesus. He has always existed and made everything. And we also see that Jesus shows us God's glory. Have a look at the start of verse 3 with me. Start of verse 3 says, "The sun is the radiance of God's glory." The sun is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is like a lamp that shines brightly all around. I don't know if that's that bright, really, but you can see it. when we see the light from the lamp, even though we can't necessarily see the light bulb, we know the light bulb is there and how good it is because of the light. Jesus shining as the light is how we see how glorious God is. Even though we cannot see God himself, we see his glory through Jesus. All of his goodness, all of his love, all of his holiness, all of his character, we see through Jesus' radiance. Like we can't help but see when the lights are on and the sun is shining, when we look at Jesus, we can't help but see how glorious God is through Jesus. So that's the next one. He shows us the radiance of God's glory. I wonder if you can draw that picture, boys and girls. That's a bit tricky, that one. And even more than that, verse 3 goes on to say that Jesus is the exact representation of his being. Basically means Jesus is exactly God. He's not some sort of phony knockoff. He's not some sort of next best thing. He's not a kind of middle of little special buy. He is God. If this small sign represents kind of all of God's godness, then this represents all of Jesus's godness. He is God. He is exactly God and represents him exactly. You see, if we look at Jesus, we are seeing all of God. And if we listen to Jesus, we are hearing all of God. That is just who Jesus is. So children, what are we to do?
Listen to Jesus.
Oh, we can do better than that. Children, what are we to do?
Listen
Brilliant. Good stuff. Good stuff. And as if making the world wasn't impressive enough, Jesus also keeps the world and everything else existing by the power of his words. We exist moment to moment, second to second, because Jesus keeps it that way. Now, boys and girls, I need to borrow all of you for a second. So all of you up on your feet for me. Jump up on your feet. And I need all of you to come onto the stage for me. I need all of you to come onto the stage for me. I'm going to stand here. All of you onto the stage for me. You can go more into the middle. Now, boys and girls, I need you to do lots of jumping up and down to make sure the stage is really solid, okay? Can you do that after three? One, two, three. Jump up and down. Keep jumping. Brilliant. This stage is really solid, and it stays here not just because someone designed it. Keep jumping. Keep jumping. Not just because someone designed it or built it really well, but because Jesus holds it together and keeps it sustaining, even with lots of jumpy children on top of it. And keep jumping. And it's still here now. And keep jumping. And it's still here now. And it's still here now because Jesus keeps it going. Brilliant, guys. Thanks. You can sit down. Round of applause for our jumpy kids. And that means all of us live and breathe and exist because Jesus keeps us going that way. He sustains us. And so it would be really foolish, wouldn't it, to not listen to the one who keeps us alive every nanosecond of our lives. So children, what are we to do? Brilliant. Good, good, good. Listen to Jesus. Oh, I forgot to stick up. The exact representation of God. And we have Jesus sustains everything by the power of his words, even human beings, even the stage here. So we are to listen to Jesus because of who he is, as ruler of all things, as creator in the beginning, who pre-existed everything, as the shining manifestation of God's glory, as the exact imprint of God's, and as the sustainer of the universe and the worlds, just with his words. Get to know Jesus. He is bigger and better than we think in every single way. If we find we are bored with Jesus, we really don't know him well enough. Boys and girls, if you find yourselves in Treasure Seekers, Kids Alive, or Litter Diggers, and you wish you were hearing about someone really strong like Samson, or really brave like Daniel in the lion's den, and you think those stories are really exciting, rather than hearing about Jesus for the 100th time, remember this. Remember that Jesus is bigger and better than even those old Bible heroes. And your challenge, boys and girls, next time you hear about those old Bible heroes, is think to yourself, how is Jesus bigger and better than this old Bible hero? For the older of us in church, sometimes it can be easy to want to kind of move on to more advanced things. Sometimes we want to hear more about doctrine, or theology, or ethics, or philosophy, those kind of higher things, rather than hear again and again and again about the person and work of Jesus. When I was younger as a family, we often used to go to Northern Ireland on holiday. And one time we were there, and we were talking about what church to go to on a Sunday. And we were talking about the nearest church to us. And my mum said, oh no, let's not go there. All they do is go on and on about the gospel. Sometimes we want to move on to more advanced things than Jesus. But we are to look at him first, be captivated by him first, in awe and love of him, because everything else flows from him. How could we move away from someone as incredible and as superior as the Lord Jesus? So, children, what are we to do?
Listen to Jesus.
Brilliant. Listen to Jesus, all because of who he is. So we're just on to the final section now, which is come to the Son because of what he has done. Come to the Son because of what he has done. Jesus is so big and mighty and powerful, it can almost be too much to get our heads around. And yet, at the same time, from the Bible, we know that Jesus is gentle and humble and always approachable. Whenever the king of this country comes out of his house to greet people, he normally stands up high on the balcony of Buckingham Palace, far away from the everyday person, behind gates and fences, with soldiers guarding him with big guns, probably a bit more dangerous than that one, keeping away anyone who might be tempted to climb over the fence and approach the king. They've got to stay away. And I think that's the kind of image we are more familiar with when we think about the mighty and the powerful, the rulers and the royalty of this world. But that is not like Jesus. That is not like Jesus. A huge part of what Jesus reveals was God's plan to save all people. All through the prophets, God was speaking of someone who was going to come and to save sinners, to take away their sin once and for all. There was going to be a sacrifice that was going to be sufficient for every single sin, and that people would rejoice, people would be happy, because there was no longer any barriers between people and God. And we see through Jesus that that person who achieves that is Jesus. All of the promises of saving and rescue and restoring are met in Jesus. He is the one who came down to earth as a human. Even though human beings, we are his creation. And he entered our world of sin, and he stepped into our mess. Like some of our little ones might love to jump in muddy puddles, especially when they've got fresh, clean clothes on, Jesus jumped into a human existence despite the muck that he would encounter because he loves human beings. He loves us, and he came to save. Please, can I have a volunteer just to hold something for a couple of minutes? Yeah, come on up, come on up. Come on up. So I need you just to hold that, just like that. Yeah, don't turn around yet. See, the big problem that every single human being has who has ever lived is sin. We all have sinful hearts. We all have lived in God's world that he made, as people that he made, with all of the good things that he made and gave to us, like family and friends, and food and nature and sport and TV and Nerf guns and Xboxes and all sorts of things. And yet so often we pretend that God isn't really in charge, that he isn't really there, that Jesus isn't really the heir of all things, that Jesus didn't really make everything or exist forever. And actually we tell ourselves that we are in charge, that we know best, that we are rulers of this world. And so we can decide what's right and wrong and good and bad. And we think that God doesn't exist at all. And if he did exist, that would be a terrible thing. We deceive ourselves and we become fools. And we live in our sin. And the right penalty for such a serious offense against God is death. Yet Jesus loved us. Despite us treating God like a fairy tale, despite us being covered in sin and having sinful hearts. And so Jesus came to earth and he suffered. He was betrayed, he was spat on, he was beaten. He was hung up on a cross to die like a common criminal. He who made the universe by the power of his words allowed human beings to put nails through his hands and his feet, to go to those lengths to save us. And he did it not as just a good example of how to love, or even to prove that God exists and is real. He did it to take our sin upon himself as a sacrifice, promised through the Old Testament, fulfilled in him, so he would be punished in our place, take our sin and suffer death. The one who is the radiance of God's glory, put away in a tomb. All that so we could be made clean of sin, so Jesus could wash us clean, cleanse our sins, and give us pure hearts now. so that he can make us as white as snow, not covered in the muck of sin. Brilliant. Thanks so much. You can sit down. That is what Jesus has done, and that is what verse 3 is talking about when it says, if we have a look, when it says, after he had provided purification for sins. That is what that is that Jesus did. But one of the issues is that this isn't a kind of default for everyone who lives. And for our sins to be forgiven, for us to go from sinners to forgiven, we must ask God for Jesus' death to count for us. If you've not done that before, why not do it today? Seeing how incredible the Lord Jesus is and just what he has done for you because he loves you. There is no one better to submit and live your life for. If your children haven't done this yet, then why not talk to them about it today again? Boys and girls, Jesus is the best person to say sorry to because he will always forgive you and he will forgive you for everything that you could ever do and will ever do. He can wipe us totally clean forever. We see in Jesus' life the mighty one made lowly to save us. We see the mighty one made lowly to save us. And this is his crowning glory and achievement. It is what allows Jesus to sit at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, as verse 3 goes on to say. Jesus gets the position of power and authority and honour and glory over all the universe as heir of all things. After he has achieved victory on his cross, he is now sitting on his throne, his work finished. Reigning over all the universe. Sometimes we worry about the state of the world, don't we? Why should we worry when the King of love and power is reigning on his throne? Jesus' being and identity and role, who he is, combined with what he has done for sinful people like us, people who really were his enemies, that makes Jesus so incredible, so utterly alone and supreme. That is why, boys and girls, Jesus is number one. That is why Jesus is number one. Jesus is above everyone else and everything else, even angels and emperors and kings in the past, the rich and powerful of today, the prophets of old, none of them can even come close to the glory and majesty and power of the Lord Jesus. So children, what are we to do?
Listen to Jesus.
So listen to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Because there is no one else we can go to.